In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Let's give him all the praise. Father, we bless you. It's a privilege to come before your presence and we honor you. Lift your hands, lift your voices, and let's bless the name of the Lord. Jesus, be glorified. Thank you. Just bless him in 1 minute. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I sincerely want to appreciate everyone for making it. This is our last service for the year. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated. Let's make some progress tonight. We're going to pray and just thank God as we wrap up the year. He has been very faithful. Praise the Lord. This mystery called thanksgiving. This mystery called thanksgiving. Psalm 92, please. Just want to charge our hearts so that we will thank him for his goodness. He has truly been faithful, and we honor him for those who are worshiping with us. For the first time, you're welcome. Those following online, God bless you. Psalm 92. I read verse 1 to 3. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. Lord, give us understanding in the name of Jesus. We have taught here again and again that spiritual growth, please listen. One of the indices, as we have taught, to measure spiritual growth. God has taught us here again that there are only 2 scriptural indices to measure whether or not a man or a people are growing spiritually. Number 1 is your degree of conformity experientially to the image of the Christ. Your degree of conformity to the image of the Christ. Number 2 is your comprehension of the mysteries and the principles of the kingdom. These 2 things must happen in your life for you to be said to be growing spiritually. If for any reason at any point in your Christian experience you are not conforming to the fullness of the image of the Christ, you are not growing. And even if you are conforming to the fullness of the image of the Christ, but you do not have access to illumination, the working knowledge of the principles and the mysteries of the kingdom, your Christian experience will be barren and frustrated, and it will still sabotage the fullness of all that Christ died for. So on one hand, we must contend through intimacy, encounters with his word, to rise to a point where our lives become an undoubtable reflection of the reality of who Christ is. And then on the other hand, we must have access to illumination, light, and understanding. It says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Then it gives understanding unto the simple. And one of the mysteries that we have come to understand that control so many things, so many results in the kingdom, is a mystery that the Bible identifies as thanksgiving. Now let me tell you something. In your spiritual journey, you should be able to tabulate the principles of the kingdom that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit you have had access to, versus the results they were designed to produce. That way your Christian experience becomes predictable. So when you talk about wealth and prosperity, you should be able to define the principle that governs it. Health and longevity, the principle that governs it. Deliverance and breakthrough, the principle that governs it. Are we together now? Influence and increase, the principle that governs it. If you cannot match the outcomes you desire versus the kingdom principles that are responsible for delivering them, your Christian life will be barren, because you will largely be guessing. You see, our ignorance in the body of Christ is not ignorance of what we want. We already know what we want. But the mysteries to be engaged that deliver the results we desire, we either do not know them, or we do not understand their operation. Are we together now? Knowing them, like I've always taught here, is like having the ingredients for food. If you have the ingredients for fried rice, you have done well, but that's not equal to fried rice. You must understand the combination. One mistake can make fried rice become something else. One mistake. Are we together? Yeah. That's how it is. So you must work with God to find out what ingredients are required for the outcome. Remember, I gave an analogy one time, I can't remember when. If I want to make yam and egg sauce, I may be wrong, but I think that rice is not needed in that combination. Is that true? So if I am on my way to the market and you sell rice for me, rice is good, but it's not needed as far as what I want to produce is concerned. Now, there are many useful informations in the kingdom, but you have to find out which ones are responsible for the formation of what you desire. So that certain lights are available does not mean they are necessarily needed for this aspect of your spiritual journey. When a believer gets born again, there are certain realities that are true and consistent with God's character, but they are not part of the ingredients required to lay the foundation for his spiritual work. Are we together now? So if someone just gets born again, I'm not going to be teaching him on the principles for wealth and prosperity. It's unnecessary. It's a wrong foundation. It's like using zinc for foundation. Zinc is important for a building, but there is a season when zinc is needed. When the house is already built, then you will need zinc. Are we getting it now? So it is important that as we approach the Word of God, we stay with the Holy Spirit to define for us the ingredients required for every season of our growth. He is the only one who has in his hands the blueprint of the mysteries required per time, per growth. You cannot guess what you think you need. It's the same arrogance that a patient would demonstrate seeing a doctor. When you come before a doctor, you don't come and say, "Doctor, I think I need Panadol." No. You may not even have headache. So you listen. Are we together? There are times you feel healthy, but the doctor will tell you need a drip. It's up to you to trust the wisdom and the sacrifice of the doctor. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the excellencies of working with the Spirit. He minimizes wastage in your life. So you don't invest your life doing many spiritual things that are not profitable. They may be spiritual, but are they profitable as defined by the season you are in? It says the men of Issachar had an understanding of the times and they knew what they ought to do. Let the Holy Spirit be the one to unveil the curriculum of your spiritual development. It is costly to guess. It is costly to copy. You must work with him to define the blueprint part time. So there are seasons in your life where he will switch his emphasis to your finances. You may feel you are getting carnal. He will never talk to you about spiritual growth again. Because according to his desire for you, the formation of the spiritual house he's raising necessitates that you now know the principles of wealth. So even if you are fasting, he will still lead you back to the principles of finances. And then there are times, even if I'm teaching on finances in Koinonia, his personalized dealings with you is helping you conform towards the character of the Christ. So after you benefit from my teaching, when you go back with him, he would fold that script and keep it to be reviewed when that season is open in your life, and you will continue your dealing on character with him. This is how men grow spiritually. But most Christians don't respect the leadership of the Spirit. We think because a truth is spiritual, it is applicable now. No, not every truth is needed at every time. The Holy Spirit must prioritize truth like a spiritual house. Then you will find out, if you follow him, I guarantee you, you will never miss out on any area. There may be seasons where you think you have not known certain things yet. Just walk with him. Because by the time you get the basics, you will now say, this was a simple issue. That's why I did not emphasize it in your growth. If not, we will major on the minors and minor on the majors. Academically speaking, there are different courses and we add credit units to them according to their relevance with respect to the degree you want to obtain. There are courses that are one credit unit. You can study them in 3 days. There are courses that are 6 credit units, 3 credit units. That's how it is in the spirit. Not every truth has equal value. They are all truth, but they do not have equal value. As far as the requirement for your destiny is concerned. Please, I'd like you, before we continue, to pray in 1 minute and say, Holy Spirit, I embrace your leadership. It's not just important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are so many believers filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say, the Lord is my colleague. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. A sheep does not have a system of defense. Its only defense is its alignment to the voice of the shepherd. A sheep does not have horns. It cannot fight. His protection is absolutely dependent on the wisdom of the shepherd. So he says, like a sheep, the Lord is my shepherd. Sabratokata pratikiti baladaba. Zebrondo supratisha labakuria de baladaba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of these mysteries, and I've shared it many times, I would share it again, is the mystery called thanksgiving. There is a revelation about thanksgiving that many believers do not understand in the body of Christ. And so we have lost cheap battles. We have given ourselves prey to situations and circumstances that, truthfully speaking, without any effort on our own, would have established cheap victories. May someone get this revelation today in the name of Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is one of the mysteries that we see being practiced in the Bible again and again. That every time a people came to express their gratitude as individuals and as a corporate entity, there was such a dramatic response that went beyond the object of their thanksgiving. They thanked God for certain things and God moved far beyond what they were thanking him for. We see this even in the life of Jesus, the apostle of our faith. Many times in scripture, we saw him engage this mystery and it produced dramatic results. So I want to share with us very quickly, why should I give thanks? Why should I incorporate this mystery as part of the principles for establishing the victory of Christ Jesus in my life? Why thanksgiving? Number one, very quickly please. The Bible tells us that it is a good thing to give thanks. Psalms 92 from verse 1 to 3 tells us it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. So if thanksgiving is a good thing, then it means thanksgiving is consistent with the character of God and worth practicing and worth living by. The first reason why you must give thanks is that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is godly to be thankful. Write it down. It is godly to be thankful. It is spiritual to be thankful. It's a good thing. It is godly. It is spiritual to be thankful. Number two, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. The Bible tells us there that it is the will of God for us to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Now listen, the situation is not the will of God. Your response is what is the will of God. It says, in everything, regardless of the outcome, it should not affect your response. Give thanks, for this, the thanksgiving, is the will of God. So regardless of what is around me, regardless of the outcome, it should never affect my understanding and my approach of being ever thankful. This is the will of God in Christ concerning you, that in all things you give thanks. The second reason why we must engage the mystery of thanksgiving is that it is the will of God. And we know that the only way the kingdom comes is when His will is being done. Matthew 6 verse 10, right? Thy kingdom come only when and if your will is being done. So there is a dimension of the kingdom that needs to find expression in my life. And that dimension is at the mercy of me fulfilling the will of God as far as thanksgiving is concerned. Meaning, if I do not give thanks, I rob God of the opportunity of demonstrating a dimension of the reality of His kingdom. It is the will of God to give thanks. Number three, thanksgiving, according to John chapter 6, from verse 6 to 13, help us media, is the secret to multiplication. Thanksgiving is the seed for more. Whenever you want more of anything in your life, the key is not complaining. The key is not grumbling. The key is that you engage the mystery of thanksgiving. Multiplication. And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what to do. I love Jesus. He inspires me. I love it every time the Bible says He knew what to do. It's terrible to not know what to do. Jesus knew what to do. Philip answered Him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. We're reading to 13, 8. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto Him, there is a lad here that had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they? What are they? Lord, I have this little talent. What is it called? With respect to what I need for my life. Lord, I want to build a house and all I have is 10,000 naira in my account. What is 10,000 with respect to 7 million or 10 million that I need? And Jesus engages a mystery. Verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was so much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had what? He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. 12. When they were filled, He said to His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing may be lost. 13. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. Thanksgiving. That's all Jesus did. He took the bread, He took the loaves, lifted it to heaven and said, Father, thank You. Because wherever there is thanksgiving, the grace that multiplies will always answer. Whenever there is genuine thanks, Those who know this have changed their lives overnight. You see, when you study the Old Testament, many times people were punished for murmuring. One of the things that brought the anger of God upon the nation of Israel was murmuring and complaining. Is it only Moses you will speak to? This and that and that and that. And they went through catastrophic events. The Bible says Jesus lifted the baskets and he gave thanks. The African culture has trained our minds to not be thankful. Are we together? Someone gives you 1,000 naira every day. And then you now say, sir, are you not knowing that I'm growing now? You started giving me 1,000 before I married. Are you aware that my wife is pregnant with twins? We always want more by placing demands through complaint, by placing demands through ingratitude. But in the kingdom, the system of the kingdom is such that every time what you have is not enough, the way you let God know is to say thank you. Thank you is the code in the spirit that says, Lord, I need more. You don't say, give me more. You say, Lord, I thank you for the one you gave me. And then he knows that you have authorized yourself to move to the next level of supply. Can someone say, thank you, Jesus? Say it with all your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Don't say, Lord, except you are not Lord, I must finish this year well. I must finish. No, it must be my turn to chop. No. Lord, thank you. For me to be witnessing the 16th day of December, I give you thanks. And God will say, that's right. That is the code for finishing the year. That's the code for qualifying for 2017. Thanksgiving. Demons don't give thanks. They never give thanks. Not once in scripture. There are some things demons cannot do. They cannot give thanks. It's not in the character of Satan to give thanks. It's anti-Satan to be thankful. You frustrate Satan when you give thanks. Not only is it a sign of contentment, it's a mystery that acknowledges that there is a God above you and that God is worthy of thanks and that he has more than you have experienced and that it is within his power to extend his benevolence to your life. Say it again, thank you, Jesus. The key to multiplication. Jeremiah 30 verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 30. Am I? 19, I'm sorry, not 9. Jeremiah 30 verse 19. I'd like us to read together. It's projected. If your eyes can get to the projector screen, let's read together. One, two, read. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. And the voice of them that make merry. And as a result, what will happen? Who will do the multiplication? I will multiply them. And they shall not be few. I will also glorify them. And they shall not be small. Just because there is a voice of thanksgiving. To say, Lord, I have just one child now. But I give you thanks. Not to say, Lord, will I die like that with only girls in my house? Some of those culture-driven antichrist mentality. Lord, I give you thanks. There are many women who are barren, but you have been faithful. I celebrate you for what you have done. And the Bible says, I will multiply them. The code in the spirit is thanksgiving. Don't trivialize what I'm sharing with you. When you get to a door, you don't cry. When you get to a door, you don't weep. When you get to a door, you use a key. A giant door can be at the mercy of a little key you can put in your pocket. But if that key is not there, that door will not open forever. The key for more. Could it be that there are people seated here, brothers and sisters, who God is ready to give surprises in the next 15 days? But the next dimension of God's grace is at the mercy. It says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Not complaining. You see why many nations never rise? Our economic theories are designed to complain. We shout and say everything. Blame who is not doing what. Blame this. A mother is blaming father. Father blaming mother. children blaming everybody, and while they are doing that, God is looking with all the love in his heart. He's limited by our lack of understanding the principles of the kingdom. Lord, at my age, I'm earning 40,000. And is that a testimony? Your name is being mocked, and God says, my God. Someone else, that 40,000 is his prayer point, is what he put as a benchmark. The secret to multiplication is thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Number four, the fourth reason why we give thanks, according to Luke 17, please, 13 to 19, is that it is also the secret to wholeness and perfection. Thanksgiving is the secret to wholeness and perfection. Write this down. It is the last step in exercising your faith. In your faith equation, the last step is thanksgiving. Haven't engaged the word, haven't spoken, haven't obeyed. The last step. A man of God said this, and I quote. He said, when you are trying to call God, the last digit of his phone number is thanksgiving. Like you press 080. Are we together? When you get to the last digit, the very last digit is thanksgiving. And they lifted up their voices and said, Master, have mercy on us. The 10 lepers, 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Look at me. They were cleansed but not whole. To be cleansed means the leprosy left, but their hands were still showing. You could see leprosy on them. Are we together now? If you saw them, you tested them in the hospital, it would show that there was no more leprosy, but their fingers were still stunted. Their physical expression still showed that they once suffered leprosy. And the Bible says, and one of them, see how scarce the spirit of thanksgiving is? Only one out of every 10. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a whisper, quietly, and said, I don't want people to know the lesson. The Bible says, with a loud voice, glorified God. Next verse. And fell down on his face at his feet. Doing what? Giving him thanks. And he was an unqualified person. A Samaritan. Not a Jew. Next verse. And Jesus answering said, were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Next verse. There are not found that return to give thanks, save this stranger. 19. And he said unto him, hallelujah, arise, go thy way. You have fulfilled the last step of the faith equation, and now your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Are we together? So you had the fibroid. They operated the fibroid and had to remove the womb. But you are alive. Yes, you are alive, but there's no more child again, medically speaking. Is that true? The Bible says the woman returned and said, Lord, although they cut my womb and I'm alive, thank you. Take it to the next dimension. I give you praise. And then as she's giving praise and rejoicing, all of a sudden the God who made womb before makes another one. And I'm standing here only because you made, you
made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made.
Listen, there are many things in our lives that are not yet perfected. And the key is, although we have seen the miracle, you came and you testified, yes, but many of us have stopped God from finishing. You know how you build a house and God has a paint, has a wallpaper, has a finishing, and you say, Lord, I am so grateful, I'm so happy that I'm inside. And God says, do you know, if I show you the picture of this house, I'm still yet to paint and finish. How many of you know, those who do architecture and construction, that the things you use to finish the house can be more expensive than the whole building? So there is more. Compared to what you've seen, there is a bigger side to the miracle. You only saw a small piece of the pie. But we complain and grumble and compare ourselves. Were there not nine that returned? He says, go thy way. Your faith has perfected you. Your faith has perfected you. Philippians chapter 4, please. From verse 6 to 7. Still on the fourth reason. Philippians chapter 4. 6 and 7. Let's hurry up, please. 6 and 7. It says, be careful. The word be careful there doesn't mean be careless. It's the word anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, it says. But in everything, listen. Listen to how believers pray. By prayer and supplication, perfected with thanksgiving, let your request. There is a spiritual formula for getting your request known. It says, when you bring the supplication and the prayer, you give thanks. Let your request be known unto God. Then it says, the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, shall keep garrison your minds through Christ Jesus. So when you pray, having made supplications, you know, let me tell you something. Please look at me. The principles of the kingdom sometimes will look so childish that in our matured world, our world of excessive adulthood and intelligence, we are unable to just submit ourselves to the childlike principles of the word of God. That's why Jesus said you have to become like one of these little ones. If you really want to inherit the kingdom, if you want to walk in the experience of the kingdom, you must lay this excessive this sense of adulthood. We are not children here. The Bible gives a very simple formula that when you make your requests, add it with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. The fifth reason why thanksgiving, number five. It is the secret to supernatural victories in the spirit. The secret to supernatural victories. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you. I can tell you this from the authority of God's word, this ministry, and in my own life. One of the cheapest ways to command victories over the powers and the forces of darkness is to properly and scripturally engage the mystery of thanksgiving. Very, very powerful truth. 2 Chronicles 2 verse 22 to 24. 2 Chronicles 2, 22 to 24. And then we'll look at Psalm 92, 1 to 15, but we'll just look at 1 and 3, 10 and 15. 2 Chronicles 2 verse 22 to 24. Sorry, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22 to 24. Media, are you with us? 2 Chronicles 20, thank you, 22 to 24. This was Jehoshaphat. Listen,
the victory that was commanded. Listen. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set what? Ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, at Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Look what happened. 23. Do you know, while this was happening, the children of Israel were not seeing it. They were at the other side of the mountain giving thanks and saying, you are good and your mercy endures forever. And then at the other side, God was commanding great victories. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped destroy. Imagine with me how the last two died. Everyone helped destroy another. As if it was a charm. You just fight your... Three of us plan to go and destroy Pastor Alpha. We're tired of what God is doing in his life. And we summon whatever arsenals we have. And instead of him wasting his time on profitless things, he engages thanksgiving. And while he is doing that, something is orchestrated. Makes me kill her. And then I turn and we discuss who dies first. She kills me and kills herself. Now, I hope you know that these guys were warriors. They were not children who were hungry. They were trained soldiers. You know how long it took for them to mobilize themselves and say, let's come together as a threefold cord that cannot be easily broken and destroy Judah, the city of praise. And while all of that were happening, they listened to a prophet of God and he said, look, set the singers and the priests. Is that how you go to fight? You put men of war and then women and then children. That's how you fight war. But it says this kind reminds me of Psalm 149. It says, let the high praise of God be in their lips and a double-edged sword in their hands. Right? To bind their kings with the fetters of iron and to execute vengeance upon their nobles. It said paraphrasing now, to execute upon them the written judgment. How the enemy will be defeated is none of your business. Your part is to engage obediently. It says, having the readiness to judge all disobedience when your own obedience is complete. Hallelujah. This was perfectly adumbrated, Ejimi, in the story of Esther and a wicked man called Mordecai. Are we together now? Yeah. And Haman, I'm sorry. Haman was plotting to annihilate the Jews. And he leveraged on his influence with the king. And while all of that conspiracy were going on, news got to Esther. And instead of her to go and murmur and say, am I your wife or not? Say, you are my wife. Say, will they kill my people? Just that's how many women will complain. Vashti did it. She was out. It will happen to anybody because we are all women in the spirit. Vashti did it. She was shown the way out. But look her. You know why she excelled? She listened to Mordecai. The same way the church prospers if we listen to the Holy Spirit. Mordecai was playing the position. He started advising her right from scratch. Referred her to Haggai. That's how she got to the palace. She listened to Mordecai. At a point in time, she even wanted to be rebellious. But she came back to her senses. And then she went and met him and said, oh king, I want to flaunt your glory. Yes, I want to let the people see how excellent you are. King said, go ahead. And when she gathered all the people, the king looked at her, paraphrasing, and said, keep doing this thing every time. Do it again. You see, kings were stupid twice in scripture. One, when they took wine. The other one during their birthdays. There was a kind of dance that kings received that they did not seek advice. Kings were wise people. They used divination to make judgments. So when a king vetoes all the astrologers, a lady danced her way to remove the head of a prophet. a prophet, but a dance removed his head. They were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. Someone here is giving God thanks, and you will go back and see a rearrangement. That's not how you left things. That's not how you left things. You left bills. You left sickness. You left all kinds of things. But while you were engaging the mystery, somebody is being forced to wake up from his sleep and saying, how long will you keep disobeying me? You must bless my daughter. Here's her account number. See it in a dream. 002-571. You are dancing here. I know some of you don't believe these things happen. You see, there's a way you disobey God so much that you don't even know that certain possibilities exist. When Samuel prophesied to Saul, he said, on your way going, it will coincide with two men, all of them holding loaves. They will salute you and give you as if they don't know what to do with it. That's what happens when the light of God shines upon you. Men will bless you for reasons they cannot explain. That's how Pharaoh blessed the nation of Israel. It was like a charm. That's why when they left, he said, what did I do? Something was at work. Release through thanksgiving. When they conquered the nation of Israel and drowned them, Miriam raised up a song. I will sing unto the Lord, she said, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horses and his rider have been thrown into the sea. God said, you are ready for the next level. When they murmured, they were in trouble. Are we together now? Very quickly, let me give us three biblical ways to show gratitude. Three biblical ways to show gratitude. Number one, we'll look at a few scriptures. Psalm 22 verse 22, the A part, and then Psalm 96 verse 3. The first way to show gratitude is through testimonies. Testimonies. Testimonies are a way to demonstrate thanksgiving and gratitude. Read with me, please, the A part. One to go. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. I will declare it. I won't be silent. God has been good to me. I won't be silent and say, let them not say I'm bragging too much. It's not a lie. He was good to me. He is good to me, and I still want him to continue to be. So I engage thanksgiving. You know, sometimes we allow people's cynical attitude make us guilty to sincerely express the goodness of God. How many people are afraid to say what God has done in their lives? Because there are all kinds of people with wicked hearts. The moment you say, I was sitting down, someone just brought the car keys of a house. So where is the house? Show us the picture. All these liars who just come and speak. You know, people are, the system of Babylon has trained people to hate the joy of others. They may be sincere people. You just watch someone buy a suit that he couldn't have afforded before. I say, be careful, though. It's only God that knows what everybody is. Why must you be cynical? Testimonies are powerful, provided they are communicated with a sincere heart. When your motive